you're having trouble finding it, go to the back cover of your Bible and head back towards the front, and you'll probably run into it right away. Amen. Or if you want to start at the front, you can go all the way to the back, and you'll probably run into it too. Amen. Chapter number 6, Revelation chapter number 6, and 4. To keep things together, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1 as we're doing our fourth study of the horses of the book of Revelation. And well, actually, it's not all the horses because there's another one that shows up back in the back, but these are the four horses of the that appear in the first six chapters there, and they tell us more than we see most of the time when we read that. I think sometimes we are so excited and so anxious to get into the nuts and the bolts of what's happening in the book of Revelation that we read past a lot of things that God would tell us and would encourage us with if we would just ask Him to and take a little more time as we're, you know, the Bible doesn't just say just read the Bible. Now that's good, but the Bible says study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's begin reading in verse number 1 of Revelation chapter number 6. The Bible says, and I saw. Now John on the Isle of Patmos is the one humanly speaking that's writing this. He said, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given him unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And behold, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances, in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when it opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Father, bless your word, please. Honor yourself for the service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at the book of Revelation and we see the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ in this book, we see him actually energizing the statement that he made just before he stepped on the cloud and rode back to heaven. Remember, he said to his disciples, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Based on that, we're supposed to get the gospel to every creature. But no longer after we get into the book of Revelation just a little ways and when we're actually experiencing this situation, because it hasn't actually happened yet. John just has this telescope God gave him to be able to look down through space, look down through time. And God showed him things that haven't happened yet, but they're just as good as if they're done. Amen. And when we stand where John is in our text, no longer will we have doubts of what Jesus can do or what he can't do. No longer will we think that he's a pussyfooter or a pushover or some kind of a weakling. No longer will we doubt his word. We'll believe every bit of it, and we won't doubt those absolute guarantees that he made and that he's going to complete, because he is going to show us, and he does here, that he is really in charge. Many times we hear people say, well, if God is so strong, why? If God is so strong, why? Well, there's a couple reasons for that. Some of them I doubt we really even know, but some reasons. Number one, God is very patient. And if God called down thunder from heaven like a couple of his apostles wanted him to do, just think of all the people that would not get saved, that perhaps could get saved if someone would reach him with the gospel. And so he doesn't do all we want him to do sometimes because of his patience. He doesn't do all that we'd like him to do sometimes because of his love. God loves people. And we look at the down and outer, or we look at the person that's off on a drug trip or something. They've had a bad trip, a bad experience with drugs, and any experience with drugs is a bad one because it could take you to the next one who is bad anyway. But we see that. We say, why does God mess with that? Because God might reach down and stir that person's heart at a sane moment and lead them to himself. God's very patient, and God loves people. He loves people that we can't love without him loving them through us. At the time of our text, not only does Jesus know that he has all power, but people in heaven know that he does also. And we're given a command on four different occasions to come and see. Now, that wasn't just a request. I believe it was a command that was given. And all the doubting Thomases that were that when they got raptured into heaven, all the doubting Thomases will be at the feet of Jesus crying, "Thou art worthy." What a day that's going to be. No more will they distrust his ability to fulfill each and every promise that he's made to mankind. All of our doubts will flee. All the doubts will go away. We'll probably scratch your head and say, why in the world did I ever doubt that? Look at what's happening right here. We need to catch a glimpse of what's going on here. Now, in his working, and let me mention this too. We see Jesus as he begins to deal with the world that either has rejected or neglected. Now, I have one person that I'm witnessing to fairly regularly. I have for about 12 years now. And he said, I have never rejected the Lord Jesus. And I said, but do you know that neglecting is just as dangerous as rejecting? Neglecting. I told a man yesterday, I told a man this morning that a lot of people who are planning on repenting at 11 o'clock die at 10:30. And so when we read the book of Revelation and we see how he's beginning to work with the world, and the world now is filled with people who either rejected or neglected their soul salvation. And that's who Jesus is going to be dealing with. And up to this time, we see some of these things have happened, and we'll go through these rather rapidly. Number one, he has removed the bodies of his people who died previously to the rapture. In 1 Thessalonians, it says that the dead in Christ will rise first. And then secondly, we see that he has removed his own that were alive on the earth when he comes in his clouds to receive us. He says, and then we which remain shall be caught up together with the Lord to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he has shown that he is the only one in heaven, in earth, or beneath the earth, who has the ability to open that book that we've been studying about. He's the only one. In fact, there was no one else in heaven, on earth, or under the earth that even had the power to look at the book, much less to open the book. He was the only one. And of course, when he had received the book at his right hand, he begins to open the seals. The first seal he opens, a white horse shows up. And of course, a number of people think that that white horse is Christ, but it can't be for a number of reasons. We'll not go into all those tonight, but he's a counterfeit Christ. Remember, Jesus said that even during his lifetime, there'd be many Christs that would show up. And we've seen a lot of those coming even in our day, in our age today. But he presents this white horse, and the rider on it comes with a promise of peace. And for about 3.5 years, there is peace. It's all over the world. You can't go a place and not find peace. It's just everywhere. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But it doesn't last because he opens the second seal and a red horse comes and he takes away all peace. Now there's no place on earth you can find peace. You can't find it. Even a man who's all by himself will not have peace because he'll wonder when they're going to get him, where they're going to catch him, what's going to happen next. And so we find that peace is removed from the earth. And then the third horse, the black horse, the Bible says he comes on the scene and he brings with him hunger and starvation. And he just raises all kinds of Ned there and causes all kinds of problems. And then the fourth horse, that's what we're going to look at tonight. He's a pale horse to sight, and he's the one we're going to look at. Now, let me say this about the book of the Revelation. It's just a story until you ask the Holy Ghost of God to make it relevant to you. until you sit down with God and say, I want this message that's in this book to become a message that will affect my heart, it's just a story. Just a story. Now, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And once the seed of God's word goes into your ears and down into your heart, it's going to do something there. I believe that. But we have a responsibility to allow the Lord to make an application of this word to our hearts. We sometimes say, Lord, so-and-so could really use this, and that person could really use this. But you know, if it's in the word of God, I could really use it. Because I get careless just like you get careless, and I get lazy just like you get lazy, and I forget things just like you forget things. We need the Holy Spirit of God to remind us. We need Him to stir us. And when I stop and think about all the loved ones that I have and the acquaintances I have and the neighbors that I have and the people I meet on a regular occasions in businesses and so forth, when I stop and think about those people weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth in a place called hell, it makes me want to work more for the Lord Jesus and labor harder with Him. We need to ask God to make application to our hearts. Well, each of these horses was preceded by one of the four beasts. One of them came, the first one came, the second one came, the third one came, fourth one came. These beasts came with a message, and the message is come and see. And when you go back from there back to chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, each time the four beasts are mentioning, they're praising God. They're worshiping God. They're saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. They're praising God. And now God says, hey, you four beasts, I have another assignment for you. I want you to go and I want you to tell all those people that are in heaven and all those people that will read about all those people in heaven, I want you to give them this message. Come and see. Pay attention. And I believe what God is telling us there is that these beasts that were made for and up to now had glorified me and they just sang praises to me and talked about how holy I was and how good I was. I believe that God is saying that if this message is delivered and believed, that message and the result of that message will glorify me enough that I'm willing to absent these four beasts that have been praising me, and I'm going to have them just go over and give you a short two-word message, three-word message. Come and see. And so we need to listen and understand what God is saying for us. Pay attention, God says, the fulfillment and accuracy of the scriptures. It's not an accident. Now, in hell, it becomes too late to work. Too late. Too late. You remember the rich man that died and went to hell in Luke chapter 6? The Bible said, you know, at first he wanted a drop of water to cool his tongue. Abraham said, that's not going to happen. And then he ended up asking if he wouldn't send Lazarus back. He said, I have five brothers, lest they come to this place of torment. You know, heaven and hell are a lot of opposites. So here's a man that's not wanting his brothers to come to hell. And I believe when these things start unfolding in heaven, we're going to see some people who wish they had some people that would come to heaven. One's wishing they won't come to hell, and others are wishing that they would come to heaven, but it's too late. He waited too late to bring the message that he had heard to his five brothers. And if we wait too late, our five brothers, our neighbors, our relatives, our loved ones, our acquaintances, it'll be too late for them also. What we're going to do, we need to get busy doing. God says, come and see. And then I want to ask the question, what is revealed at this time? We find that it's a pale horse. Now, when you start reading commentaries, you want to be careful when you read a commentary, because commentaries do a lot of guessing, and commentaries are not inspired by God. Now, commentaries can be a wonderful help, but you need to understand that sometimes they go off to the right or go off to the left, and they can get things kind of confused. And so when you read about this horse in most commentaries, it'll say something about this horse is green, or this horse is a cami color, you know, like he's going to go hide in the woods or something. He's got a cami color. No, listen, the Bible says that this horse is pale. Now, we say, well, what color is pale? When do we use the word pale? We look at someone who's sick and we say, my, he really looks pale. he must be sick. He really looks pale. And you can imagine whatever color you want to put on there, whatever tag you want to put on it, but God says he's pale. And when you look at a man that's sick and say he's pale, that's the color this horse was. We need to think about things like that. He's that color. Now, you say, well, what difference does it make, Brother Sutton, if it's green or if it's pale? The difference is, do we have a perfect look or not? That's the difference it makes. And we dare not say, well, it doesn't make any difference, because it does make a difference. Because if that part is wrong, if God made a mistake there, who's to say he didn't make a mistake in John 3:16 when he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if I would trust Jesus, I believe in him, I'd not perish but have everlasting life. He might have been wrong there too. He's either right or he's wrong. It's tis or taint. And we dare not allow people to chase us away from what the Bible says. We need to stick with the book, and we need to understand that. And so his color was pale. And here's another thought for you. Somebody says, well, what if I just disagree with the Bible in one place? Okay, you disagree in one place, and somebody else disagrees in another place, and his brother disagrees in another place. It doesn't take a lot of people. You're going to get somebody disagree with all the Bible. And so it's either true or it's not true. Somebody says, well, I don't think it's all true. Who's going to decide that? Who's going to decide that? You're going to set up a committee? Who are you going to elect as the president of that committee? No, it's either true or it's not true. If there's one word in there that's not true, then we're in trouble. Amen. And so we need to understand that. It was a pale horse. That's what God said. Now, looking further, we note again something about this pale horse. In verse number eight. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. Well, back up here just a minute. Set on him. Now, if I talk about a horse, I usually don't say him. I usually say it. I guess I could say him or her, depending on how well I knew the horse. But here God says this is a male horse. Now, why would God tell us the gender of this horse? Why would he do that? The only reason I can think that he would is that gender is important to God. Now, you can vote all you want about gender changing and transing and all those things, but God is the one who says what a gender is. And listen, incidentally, there's only two, and there's nothing in between the two. Male and female, made he them. That's what it says clear back in kindergarten, clear back in the book of Genesis. Male and female, made he them. And just because some people with a so-called education, some people with some so-called legal experience, some people that have some clout and some understanding and some people following them, just because they say, well, this became that and that became that, no. When that person dies, God will say he's dead or she's dead. And it will be the same gender that they were born with. And nothing on earth will change that. Right. Nothing on earth will change that. And we could get real personal, real private about that too, but nothing's going to change that. All the surgeries in the world is not going to change the gender. It might change the appearance, but it's not going to change the gender. Right. And we need to understand that. And so God, 3 out of 4 times, he tells us it's a male horse. 3 out of 4 times. The other time he doesn't say what it is. Doesn't say if it's male or female. But three out of 4 times he does. And I think that's part of God showing us that every word in this book is important. There's no unimportant words here. In Proverbs chapter 30 in verse number 5, the Bible says, every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him, so it tis or taint. And of course, we would not assume to be smarter than the Lord, would we? And so the Bible says that it's a him. In the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, the Bible tells us that every word's to be established. And so here, three out of four times, God tells us that it's a him. It's a him. Gender is important. And then death is riding this gender-named horse on him. The Bible said, set death. And death arrives on this pale horse. And he's the only rider of all these horses, these four horses, he's the only one that's named. The other riders aren't named, but this horse's rider is named Death. And we need to think about that for a little bit, I guess. And death's been around now for quite a while. Death's been around since the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned, death showed up. And of course, I don't know when Adam and Eve saw their first dead bird or dead animal. I don't know if it struck them as being a terrible thing, if they saw their sin as a result of that. When their one son killed their other son, I'm sure that the thought of it being their fault and they were liable for that, I'm sure they thought about that. But death appears in your King James Bible, it appears 342 times. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, whereas by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. There's something about death in the bloodstream. You received your blood from your father. No, it wasn't your mama. It was your father gave you your bloodstream. And that's why Jesus was born sinless, because he received his father's blood, which was sinless blood. So Jesus' blood was sinless also. But in the human being, that blood that you received from your father had a taint in it. And it wasn't AIDS, it wasn't syphilis, it wasn't some other disease. It was sin. Sin joined the bloodstream of man when Adam sinned in the garden. And death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And death is going to be with us for a while yet. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 26 tells us the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And so death is going to be here, death is going to be here, death's going to be here till the last enemy is destroyed, that is death. But there's coming a time when there'll be no more death. That's going to be a good time. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. But until then, death is going to be with us. You and I are going to face death one of these days. If we face it by ourselves, we're going to go to hell. If we face it with Jesus, we go to heaven. It's just really that simple. Death, the only rider that has a name, this horse, pale horse, the only one whose rider is named, and death is the only one that has a sidekick with him. The Lone Ranger always had who? Tonto. The Cisco Kid always had who? Poncho, yes, hallelujah. Robin Hood always had who? No, it was John Little. He changed his name to Little John. Amen. Yes, amen. Okay, anyway, death always has an accompaniment with it. And hell follows death. And hell, when a person dies, hell is there ready to snatch them and take them to that temporary place where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, a holding place until Jesus comes and sets up everything, and then people, death and hell, give up the dead that are in them, and they're judged and cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. And so there's always hell following behind death. He's very faithful to be close to death. And so death affects everybody. It affects people in the castle and the palace. It affects people in the hut in the darkest of Africa or someplace, or in the cardboard box in Washington, D.C. It affects the homeless. It affects the king. It affects every race. It affects both of the two genders. Death. And here death is followed by hell, and hell is one that's going to meet them. And so Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Now, according to our text, the greater percentage of people will be visited by hell later than now The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. You know, a lot of people that miss the rapture, they're going to miss it because of pride. They're going to miss it because of something they want to do more than they want to submit to the Lord Jesus. And they're going to find out that they've got to go to hell for the very thing they live for. They live for pleasure. Well, there won't be any pleasure in hell, though. And so death and hell incorporated. They have this working agreement. They're deputized by the Lord Jesus. We need to swing back around, get back around to that idea again. Nothing's happening here that Jesus doesn't okay. All power is given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. And so when we find all these death and dying, all these tragedies happening, Jesus is the one that's allowing that to happen. Jesus, he could have just left that book sealed. He didn't have to open that book up. He didn't have to. But as he did, open them 1, 2, 3, and now the fourth one, we find these things happening. Now consider the population. According to Google, the population of the world is 7,846,000,000 people. The Bible testifies that 25% of those people are going to die. That's 1,961,500,000 people are going to die when this pale horse shows up. And their power, the Bible says in verse number 8, it says, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and hunger and death and beasts and so forth. And so they're given the power by the Lord Jesus to kill. And we're beginning, I think, today more than ever, we're seeing a shadow of these things. Yeah, I don't believe that the Bible teaches one whit that we're going to be here during the tribulation. But I do believe that there could be a shadow of these things. And that may be to motivate us. Things that are happening in the world today that are almost strange to us. I think that ought to motivate us to serve the Lord Jesus and to tell people the only thing that's going to keep you out of hell is Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've accomplished. The only thing that will keep you out of hell is Jesus. And we ought to be motivated to help those people. Well, he gives them, or Jesus gives them, some weapons to use. He gives them the sword, and that speaks of war and murder. I can imagine on this at this scale, because of the food prices and the scarcity of food, I can imagine there'll probably be people killed for food. But there's going to be a lot of people killed just because of hate. Just because of hate. I don't like the way you look. I don't like the way you part your hair. I don't like the side of the tracks you live on. I don't like your race. I don't like your color. I don't like who you're married to. I don't like who you're dating. Just pure old hate, pure old hate. A lot of people are going to die because of that. In 2021, in America, there were 19,600 hate deaths, hate murders. They couldn't figure out any real reason. It wasn't for money. It wasn't to rob them. It was because they just hated them, just hated them. Well, then the second weapon was hunger, and starvation will be even worse than hunger. The prices we mentioned before, a measure of wheat for a day's wages, a penny, three measures of barley, a day's wages, a penny. And so the starvation is going to be there. Food supplies are being ruined all the time. In Oregon, the state of Oregon, you know, Oregon's kind of flexed its muscles. It said, we don't need God. We can live as ungodly as we want to. We can do whatever we want to do. Well, there's a bug called a Mormon cricket that has invaded Oregon, and they're almost gone. Let me give you some statistics about that. In 2021, Mormon crickets absolutely destroyed 807,000 acres of crops. That which would have been in Safeway or would have been in the feedlot so that the beef could be in Safeway, 807,000 acres lost, and 10 million more acres in the state of Oregon badly damaged because of the cricket. A cricket. Can you imagine? that cricket, you get upset with him chirping all the time and rubbing his hind legs together and making that noise they make. What would you do if he was destroying your farm? That's happening now, and that's just a shadow. That's just a shadow. What's going to happen when the real thing steps forward? And it's been called by people in newspapers and stuff, it's been called the biblical insect swarm. It's funny how when things bad happen, they think about the Bible, isn't it? Think about the Bible. They said, here's a way to tell how bad it is. If they find three crickets in a square yard, 3 foot by 3 foot. If you find three crickets in it, it's an emergency. In many of them, they found 201 crickets in a number of those squares. And three is an emergency. 70 times an emergency. 70 times. I think that probably is a picture of what's going to happen. Thousands of cattle have died in Kansas and Colorado of diseases that they never heard of before. The news said, well, you know, it's just rained so much. Why didn't they die last year when it rained? Why didn't they die 100 years ago when it rained? Then they have all these diseases in one thing or another that they talk about. Chicken farms destroyed. People setting chicken houses on fire, burning them down. People beginning to believe someone paid them to destroy the food source. Government paying farmers not to plant, not to harvest. Government sending work vehicles out to a farm and digging a big grave, driving cattle or sheep into it and shooting them. Government doing that. Oh, they pay the farmer. They pay the farmer. But none of that will make it to Safeway. Shortages of food. I think we're seeing the beginning of that. Clear back when I was a kid, in our area, they used to raise a lot of potatoes. And if they raised what the government thought was too many potatoes, the government would buy them, and then they would sell them for animal feed. Hogs, cattle, kids would eat those hog potatoes, they call them. Get them away. So they used the idea of keeping the price up, but that didn't always work either. And then it says, so he's going to use the sword, he's going to use hunger, and he's going to use the third one is death. The third thing that God's going to give him is to work with is death. People will just simply die. You know, people die today. They're going to die then also. And I'm thinking about, well, how would they die? Well, maybe some of them would still die of COVID. Maybe they'll die of cancer. Maybe they'll die of pneumonia or accidents or old age. Some people will still die of old age. And then I think some of them are just going to die of fear. This is what the Bible says in Luke 21:25. And there should be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. People just dying. And then the last one, the last tool, the last weapon is beasts. 174,000 people in 2021 were killed by beasts in America. And they were 174,000 people were injured or sickened by beasts. 700 were killed. And the beasts that led the pack, brown bears were one. I've seen videos of people trying to pet grizzly bears. That didn't work out so good. Sharks. Every week or so you'll hear some shark attack somewhere. Snakes. A snake is not going to hurt my wife. unless it hurts her because she gets hurt running away from it. She hates those things. And then, let's see, what else was there? There's another one or two here. Alligators. Alligators. Talking about these 11-foot alligators. Somebody found an 11-foot alligator in his swimming pool. I'll bet he didn't have to put up a sign, private, keep out. No, it didn't. But the number one culprit, the number one thing that kills more people worldwide than any other thing, is a rat. A rat. I heard the other day of rats as big as beavers. No, that's not in Africa, that's in New York City. In the subway tunnels and the underground railroads and all that kind of stuff. Think about rats for a minute. One pair of rats can produce 5 litters per year with 8 or 9 ratlets. What's a baby rat called? Eight or nine baby rats can be born 5 different times from a pair of rats. They destroy 95% of if you destroyed 95% of the rats, in a year's time, they'd be back where they started a year before that. 1 year, they'd reproduce 95% of their death rate. They know they carry at least 35 different diseases. And they destroy $1 billion worth of food in the United States every year. And so what does the government do to help us out? How many of you have ever used Decon? I mean, the old Decon. You can't even buy that old Decon anymore. You know why? Because the government thinks that that's too mean on the rats. And so they don't like the way it kills the rats. I guess they'd rather have the rat chewing on your baby as chewing on Decon. And so just all kinds of things. Now, after we looked at some of these things, you're probably thinking and scratching your head, you might say, is such a time really possible? Could a God who loved the world enough to give his only begotten son to suffer the shame and the humiliation and the pain and the sorrow and the heartache that Jesus suffered, could he really bring about those kinds of things? Well, listen to what the Bible says. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. How many of you heard of Easter? You've heard of Easter. It's the truth. By the resurrection from the dead, God gave every man on earth assurance that one of these days they're going to stand before God. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter what gender you think you are, even if you're wrong. You're going to stand before God someday, just like I am. And God has proved that by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, here's a question. How shall we, people who are lost, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? There is no escape if you die without Jesus. There is no escape if you die without Jesus. And so I want you to consider two things. Number one, are you absolutely sure that you're not going to be here during those very trying times? And we looked at some numbers today, and that's just a shadow. That's not the real thing. That's just a peeking over the top of the blanket. That's just barely touching the hem of the garment of what's really going to be happening during the tribulation. Are you 100% sure you're not going to be there, be here during the tribulation? If you're not in heaven during the tribulation, you've heard enough gospel tonight that you'll never get to heaven. Never, never, never. And the second thing is, not only are you ready so that you'll not be here during this terrible time, but the second is, who do you know that's not prepared to miss this terrible time. You know, you stop and think about people, my kids, my grandkids, people I've pastored, and the kids of people I've pastored, and you know, you wonder about them. And I'm a long ways from my kids and my grandkids, long ways. And I'd like to run over and drink a cup of coffee with them in the morning and go fishing with them on a Saturday. And I'd like to be able to spend time going through the scriptures with them and talking to them and assuring them that just as real as hell is, heaven is, and Jesus is the only way. I'd like to do that. But I can't. But what I can do is I can go see someone else's brother, sister, father, mother, son, daughter. I go see them. And then I can turn to God and say, Lord, you promised me that as I sowed, so I would reap. If I'm going to go see somebody else's family, Lord, can't I count on you to send somebody to see my family? And so we can't say, I can't reach my family, because by ministering to another family, God, if we're honest about it and accurate about it and active about it, God will send somebody else to minister to our families in a distant place. I believe that. But bottom line is, there's folk everywhere that need the gospel. Everywhere. It's not up to us that they trust the Lord Jesus, but it is up to us that they hear what they must do to go to heaven. That's up to us. That's up to us. Let's bow our heads, please.